As Gretchen's favorite band, Bon Jovi, once sang, right now, we've got to keep the faith. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now
welcome to episode 61 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I'm Pete, and sitting right across from me is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple with you. Wait, that didn't sound right at all. We are a regular company on a journey
there you go.
With you. Wow. Let me start that one last time.
Keep going. You got it. You got it.
We are a regular couple on a journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. You know, I think it's the journey part. I'm not sure I'm digging that word.
Oh, but we've had it for 61 episodes. How can you take it out?
Well, I think I've forgotten to say it a few times. But I've screwed it up plenty.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a professional, and we don't edit that much. I could edit that right out.
You could.
I'm not going to.
No. Takes too much effort.
But I think I want to come up with a new little saying within there.
Oh boy.
I don't know what it's going to be, though.
Lord, help us all.
Lord, help us all. So, two things. One, no wine tonight.
No wine.
You didn't ask for any.
I didn't.
Why not?
I didn't. Well, we have a big weekend coming up. There's a lot of wine coming our way.
You didn't want to prime the liver?
My liver, honestly, I feel like my liver has been a little, like, not happy. So, I decided to give it tonight off and in preparation for the weekend and just go water.
Okay. So, I didn't want any because I have 18 miles to run
right,
tomorrow morning.
You have 18. And also, I didn't want to drink alone, even though my mom would have drank with me. But, you know, that's okay.
All right. Well.
No wine. Water.
I get no comment about using a Bon Jovi lyric for you?
No.
Really? you give me a hard time about so many of those. Laugh at me.
No, there's nothing like it. It's a good. I'm curious to see, you know, where it's going, keeping the faith. I mean,
it's just a general theme.
Ah,
I think that's just a good life motto.
Keep faith. Yeah.
I can tell you I've never heard that song, but I'm sure you have many times. So
many
it
times.
Was just for you.
Aww.
And you didn't even care.
No.
You just want to know what's your angle.
What's the angle? Where are we going with this?
So I'm really thinking I kind of want a podcast standing up. I really want to. Stand up. I'm not going to do it tonight, but how would you feel if I was standing hovering over
me? I don't
the studio while we recorded.
I feel like you would shift too much. I feel like you would be pacing, you'd be going back and forth, like, because you have a lot of nervous energy, and like, I mean, your legs always going, and I feel like if you're standing, you'd be moving around a lot, and that would annoy me.
Okay, like on a scale of 1 to 10 annoying.
I would say it would be a good solid 8, I would
wow.
think.
Wow, of all the things that I do that annoy you.
Well, during the podcast, I mean.
Oh, well, yeah.
This is just podcast annoyance, I mean.
So all the things that I do during the podcast that annoy you, where would that go?
I would say that'd be a solid 8, yeah.
I mean, but like, would it be number one?
Number one, yeah, I would say so. I don't know.
Just merely being here isn't.
No, that's not number one. Because then it'd just be me talking, and well, that'd just be dead air, so.
Well, hashtag Team Gretchen would prefer that many, many times.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's jump into our FMC Rewind because we've got a special guest interview coming up in a bit. And we don't know much about the gentleman other than he's a listener.
Yeah.
Which we like. I wouldn't go calling him a fan.
Maybe a fan of me?
Maybe.
Okay.
Let's not put words in the poor guy's mouth. But what's been going on? How's the views from the couch?
So I went back and watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel, season one. Though it was a little weird, but it was kind of good because I saw how they ended up where they were and stuff, and then finished. So I'm done with Miss Maisel now, And I'm kind of like, okay, now what do I do? And I went back to Gilmore Girls. I'm not going to lie. I went back to my Gilmore Girls this morning and I started watching my Gilmore Girls. Now, my mom's here too, so I can't watch a lot of my reality shows that I normally would watch. But yeah, I've been binging Miss Maisel for the last couple of days. So yeah.
It was... I'm just thankful that Lauren Graham is going to get her royalties back.
I know, right? I felt bad. But so Miss Maisel. So I'm watching Miss Maisel and the woman that plays Miss Maisel's agent. Okay. She's great. I mean, she's so funny. She's great. And I'm trying to figure out, where do I know this woman from?
Well, she's Rosie O'Donnell's understudy, right?
Right. She looks, yes, she's very, she's shorter than Rosie O'Donnell, but she looks very similar to her. So I'm trying to figure out, where have I seen her before? She looks so familiar. Yes, I could go look her up on IMDb and, you know, that's the easy thing. But guess where she's from? Gilmore Girls. Season one, she was the harpist in season one at the inn. Gilmore Girls. Everything goes back to Gilmore Girls.
Not.
It's like Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of Gilmore Girls.
Everything goes back to a Seinfeld.
Yeah, that too.
Not
but
to
I feel
a Gilmore
like
Girls.
I feel like Gilmore Girls, I've connected a lot of stuff to Gilmore Girls. So but anyway, so I really enjoyed Miss Maisel. I highly recommend it to anyone.
Well, Kurt plays a big role in the Avengers.
Yep. And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
That's been off. So, yeah, I know. I'm telling you. So, anyways. But, yeah. So, I went back to Gilmore Girls. We watched that today. But I am caught up on Bravo. Fights. Drinking. Nothing new there. So, nice. I'm looking forward to my Orange County coming back. No, Beverly Hills is coming back. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I don't know what the difference is.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
That's what you keep saying.
Denise Richards is on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this season.
Downers Grove's own, I believe. Yes. Isn't she from Downers Grove?
I think so.
What we have Google for.
So, yeah. So, she is joining the cast of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So, that will be intriguing to see how she does.
Wow.
What she brings to the table.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's basically. So I need a new show, though. But I need, you know, I'm watching my Gilmore Girls in the morning, but I kind of feel like I need another like morning show because I'm enjoying the variety of it all.
So she is from Downers Grove.
Okay.
And Denise and I are not that far apart in age.
Really?
Like a couple of weeks.
Really? She's
47 right
47?
Now.
47? Really?
Born February 17th.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Well, okay. All right.
So yeah.
Also goes back to Seinfeld.
Why?
Because she was in an. She was the girl that George was looking at, the young girl.
Oh right.
He was looking at
for
her cleavage.
NBC, yes, executive.
Yes, that and then right. Elaine had to go and.
Right. Prove right. that it happens. So, yeah. So that's it. All and right. then
How's
I've been
training?
On the treadmill.
Okay.
Been getting on the treadmill.
Good.
Still just doing the walk-in, but I am getting on there, so that's important. I'm kind of tired of Kimmy Schmidt, but I feel like I need to see her through the end.
Tired of her? Oh, man.
I can see why it ended after this season. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of, I feel like it's played its course. Like, I don't know how much, I don't know. It's getting a little hard to watch, but I'm committed. I see it through the end.
So somebody in sub 30, Megan posted our last episode.
Okay.
I think it was our last episode in sub 30 and somebody chimed in and the gentleman basically said, good episode, but man, do you guys watch a lot of TV?
We do.
And
But I've been still doing my puzzle and I mean, I've been doing other stuff, but yeah.
While you watch TV.
While I watch TV.
Have you talked to Andy? Because the last time you you put it out there.
I put it out there. So Andy pinged me. He said that we owe him an apology because he was listening to the episode and he started laughing hysterically out loud. And his like workmate or deskmate or something looked at him like he was crazy because he was on a call and Andy's listening and starts laughing or something and disturbs him. So sorry about that. But Andy is on board when I'm ready. So we have to. We did not figure out what race I was going to do, but I think it's looking more like Darian unless we find something in the fall. If I want to really kind of
You want to really push this
push this one off some more so I can, you know, get warmer weather.
Well, I mean, I would, if you give me a time frame, I will find you a race.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get something besides Darien because there's no finisher medal for that.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I'm okay. I mean, I don't feel like it needs to be the spring. I'm fine with like the fall or like summer time frame. So we just need to look to see. And then Andy's ready to go. He's ready to. I when he said that, he started laughing. I'm like, were you laughing because the thought of me doing a 10K? He's like, no. And of course, he's ever so encouraging. You can do it. You got it in you and all that stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, we'll see. So, but Linda was hilarious. She called me crazy. She's like, what the heck's wrong with you? She's like, you said a 10K. I thought it was going to be 8. I'm like, yeah, I know.
So, it's only 2 more K.
So, yeah.
She
called me crazy.
I think now we have to have a disclaimer or a warning at the beginning of the podcast. And we'll just replace the
quote with the
lyrics.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. Right. So how about you? You had big training weekend.
Yeah. So it's been, you know, up and down just in terms of timing. Like I really have to work on time because sometimes, you know, life gets in the way.
Right.
And work, and there's no excuses. I don't have an excuse. I need to just get my butt out of bed earlier to get some things done. And it is difficult in winter just with light and slick surfaces early in the morning after it's been either precipitating or foggy, and it can get slick, right? Yep. So I've got to be careful. And the bottom line is, though, there's no excuse. So, last weekend with the kids, I had to do an 18 miler, but it just wasn't going to work out where I could run it straight. It's just too much time. I'm
too much time away from the kids. Yeah. We have them such a short period of time. Right. You don't want to be away from them that long.
And at my pace, it takes a while to do these runs. So for me, it could be, you know, just a little under 4 hours, somewhere between 3 hours and 40 minutes and 4 hours were for me to finish this thing.
Yeah. Now, granted, the kids, you know, don't usually get up that early either. But, I mean, it's still, like, they're usually up by 10 or so. And so that would be, you would have to get out the door by 6. And like you said, it's just too dark and slick at that point in time.
Well, and at the same time, after that long of a run, I need some time to recover.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just wasn't ideal. So I split it up. And it was interesting because that brings its own challenges. So I did... instead of 18 straight in the morning, I went out and I did 6 miles.
Yeah.
4 of those at race pace.
Okay.
So that would mean around a 10:58 pace.
Okay.
And I bookended those 4 miles with about, with my easy pace. So somewhere in the 12:15 to 12:30 pace per mile. And then I shoveled some snow.
Yep.
And then we took some pictures with Lily's new camera, which was great.
Yes.
And then I drove them back because they wanted to go back early because Lily had a friend she wanted to meet up with who's moving.
Yes.
It was very cute. And I drove back after that 2 hours and 45 minutes, give or take, and I ran 12 more.
Right.
At more of an easy pace. It was just under easy pace, actually.
Okay.
So I think I was like 12:08 or something per mile.
Okay.
But it was difficult to get moving.
Yeah.
And then when I was moving, I was getting fatigued a little bit easier than I thought I would.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that I had done so much like earlier in the day.
Right.
I think.
I mean, you weren't just, yeah. I mean, being in the car, even though you're sitting in the car, that still takes a lot out of you.
And it's still 18 miles in a day.
Right.
Of running. So yes. I was really proud of that.
Yeah.
Yet tomorrow will be 18
Straight through.
That's the plan.
You can do it. And then you'll sleep on the way to the city.
Right.
Then take another nap. And then we'll go out drinking.
We'll have some fun with our friends Jen and Boone.
Yes.
But it was great. I mean, my training's been great. I've been hitting my tempo paces. This week I had 2 kind of back-to-back tempo runs to do.
Right.
And I did them, including 24 straight minutes yesterday at tempo, which for me is a big deal. I mean, it's not that far off running a sub 35K for me with what that tempo pace is, so which is about 10:15. So, I mean, it's a little bit slower, but it's not significantly slower.
Right.
And the effort is there because I'm doing them back to back, and there's some fatigue factor going on. So today I didn't get my run in. I let work get in the way a little bit, and then I had planned to get home in time to go out and do it, but somebody decided there would be an accident in my way, and it would be almost a 2.5 hour drive home.
Yeah, not fun.
So that curtailed that plan. And then we had to do this. I had to eat, this.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to miss this.
Nobody wants to miss recording. Come on now.
So here's another thing I wanted to bring up. I've been looking at this app for a while, and I don't know why I decided to finally do it. It's called Achievement. It's an app that you put on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the most apps go, from what I hear.
Uh-huh.
Not on an iPad necessarily, though.
We don't have iPad.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But you download this app called Achievement, and then you put in your info, and you connect apps like the Garmin app or MyFitnessPal or whatever, Apple Health thing, if you've got an iPhone, and it gives you points based on activity, sleep, taking surveys, all kinds of different little things that you can do.
Okay.
And when you get to 10,000 points, they give you $10. Just $10. That's what you get.
Interesting. Right? What's in it for them?
Data.
Oh.
Right? So they're asking you these questions. So the question that came up today on it was, have you experienced flu-like symptoms in the past 2 weeks?
No.
No. So I don't know who they're giving the data to, but they're giving this data, this health data.
So how many? So answering that question, how many points did you get?
Maybe 3.
Oh, so this could take a long time.
Well, but you get more points for like exercise.
Oh.
So you'll get more points for a run, for a walk, for your steps.
Okay.
There's all kinds of things. And every once in a while, like just connecting the app, I think I got 50 points or something. Oh,
that's interesting.
So it's an interesting thing to keep you. I mean, hey, if you can get 20,000 points in a year and
get $20,
why not?
Yeah.
Just for data. Some people might have privacy concerns, and that's fine. I get
then
that.
Then you don't do it.
Then I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Take data.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'm
hoping to skew the curve.
That's interesting. It's very interesting.
Middle-aged fat guys that are balding. I'm trying to skew that.
They need a voice. They need a voice.
That's basically been, you know, one of my fun new things.
So they like sell it to somebody else to get their money, probably.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I mean, they ask all kinds of questions, and then they'll ask you like, how many stars would you give this question? Like I'm like, 5. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Like, just send me more questions.
If you give the right answer, you get more points.
I don't know. I don't think that there's a difference.
Is there a right answer, wrong answer? What's the grading?
It's not
curve?
A quiz. Not a quiz, just a survey.
Okay.
No right or wrong.
No.
But I just thought it was interesting.
That
so
is interesting.
There's no like, hey, get your friends to sign up and then you get points.
4 points.
I don't think. Maybe there is. If somebody knows that there
and
is.
And now you're missing
out. How about it? Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, it's free advertisement to at
there
least
you go.
Eight people.
Dozens.
Dozens. Dozens and dozens.
Dozens and dozens.
All right. Well, I think that we should jump on over to our interview.
Yes.
Excellent.
Good.
All right. We are back and over in interview corner. I don't
know. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
We're sitting in the exact same spot we were before.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Oh, right.
There's no difference.
But there's a special guest that's coming live from Skype.
live from New Jersey. It's
New Jersey.
Night.
There we go. Hey, we got New Jersey in the house. All right. So we've got Dan Seifring on with us tonight. Dan, welcome to the Fat Man Chronicles.
Well, thank you for having me, Gretchen and Pete. I very much appreciate it. I've been a listener since day one, or whenever John Harris started talking about your program. I found you guys and went back and started from the first episode.
Yeah, I think you got pretty early.
It was pretty early,
like
on.
Maybe episode 3 or so that John and Rob chimed in. And, well, we definitely appreciate it. And the fact that you've suffered through 60 of these things is pretty good, Dan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your pain tolerance is high.
I've been told.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you give us a little background about yourself? Tell us where you're from and kind of what connects you to the Fat Man Chronicles concept.
Yep. So, okay, where I'm from Jersey. I turned 50 in November. Been living in New Jersey my whole life, so I will apologize in advance if I swear on the podcast, but that's how we do it here.
We're PG, remember? PG-13 here.
I can tag this one. Don't worry about it. You just be you, Dan.
I'll be okay. So, yeah, lived in New Jersey my whole life. I was always into athletics. I can't say I was always the best kid on the team, but I was always doing something, baseball, wrestling. And then after, high school, got into some walking, some running, but as time moved on, I, put on a lot of weight, gained a lot of weight. I probably hit my heaviest back in 2005 when I was 330 pounds. And, as it would have it, it was season two of The Biggest Loser. I started watching. I did not watch season one, started watching season two, and I saw this guy, Pete Thomas, get voted off, and his episode where it was when they came back and showed you what he's doing now when he did this all on his own. And I was like, wow, his transformation from when he left the show to where now he's doing it all on his own really amazed me. And I was like, wow, I could probably do something. I'm not going to work out 6 hours a day, but I could probably do something. And, at this point, I'm 36, 37 years old. I have small children at the time. And, I was like, I need to do something because here I am, 330 pounds. Sitting on a sofa, probably drinking 100 ounces of Coke every day and going to McDonald's for lunch. And I just knew I needed change. So started probably just walking, got a gym membership, probably did a little lifting and really changed my diet to where I was eating more like a someone that maybe had diabetes, but I really didn't have it. I did go to the doctors. Everything honestly checked out pretty well for a guy my size. But that's the diet I followed. I found that. And so I guess I was kind of probably doing more calorie counting than anything else at the time. Okay. It worked well for me. I'd say in the first year, I probably lost, upwards of probably 120 pounds.
Wow.
And then started doing just like I said, started at walking. Then I did pick up some running and I started doing some 5Ks and nothing fast. Probably 40 minutes was probably a great time for me back then. I got more running. And as I was losing more weight, I did my first half marathon in probably 2007. And I actually did that in 2 hours and 10 minutes, which for me was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
For me, that was great. That was an incredible time for me. And, it was going well then. I probably was at my lightest, probably down to 210 area. And then it just from there, it's probably gone. It's been up and down since. And, I have my good times and bad times and if that was 2007, I did run a marathon. I guess I should put that in quotes, run a marathon. But I did do the Marine Corps marathon in 2009. And then I actually started doing some local triathlons and decided, why not try for a full Ironman at one point. And so I did complete the one and only year they did Ironman New York City, and that was in 2012.
Wow.
pretty impressive.
Thanks. It wasn't easy. Training for me is really probably the hard part. It's trying to get out every day, and I know, I'm sure you guys have been there as well. It's just right. It doesn't always happen the way I want it to, or the way it should. So I would say I'm a better I'm kind of a weekend warrior, I guess, in that I do get out more on the weekends than I do during the week. I need to do more on the weekdays.
So from the time from like 2007 to 2012, you kind of took us through that time frame. How is your weight doing in there?
So it's like I said, when I was at 2007, I completed the half marathon at probably 210. And then really it was like the next day I probably said, oh, I'm good now. I could just eat whatever I want. And honestly, from that time, it started going back up again. Bringing in some bad things at 2010, my parents got into a car accident. Actually, my mom died in that accident. Mm-hmm. And my father was in bad shape, and you know, he lives an hour away, so, or probably an hour and a half away. So between me and my sisters, we're going up there with him. And so a lot of that time, I'm probably not working out too much. So that's, again, that's 2010. Not working out as much and definitely eating out more, because if I'm driving up to see him and then just stopping at McDonald's. So falling back into some bad habits, definitely probably back up to 280 before you knew it.
Wow.
And I remember I signed up for the Ironman. I did it in 2012. I signed up for it in 2011. And I remember signing up for it actually at 280 pounds, thinking, all right, this was going to stir, you know, going to spur me on to go back to 210 pounds. Unfortunately, it never happened. When I did do the Ironman, I did it at about 255 pounds.
Wow.
So, you know, it wasn't easy. I was very, very fortunate in one way. We did have to swim in the Hudson River, but.
Oh my gosh.
But the tide was incredible though. It was a downhill swim, let's say that. That helped a lot.
But did you glow when you came out of the river?
It could have been worse. It could have been in the East River.
Yeah, well, it was pretty bad. It was it was a disgusting river, I'll say that.
So this is, I mean, it's very interesting to me that, you know, you kind of have all this and now we're up to 2012, so we've got like another 7 years between then and now. So what's been happening in these later years?
Yeah, so I, you know, still doing at this point. So I finished that race, and I'm still doing some small triathlons. I wasn't going any long distance anymore. I was definitely a one and done on the Ironman. I've done some Olympics since then and just a lot of local sprints. I kind of got out of to where I was even doing, I probably entered a couple half Ironman, I'm sorry, half marathons, and probably mostly walked through them. Most recently, I think I did 2 years ago, I did a half, but, that probably took me about, closer to 4 hours than the 2 hours and 10 minutes it had previously taken me. So, I would say, then I switched to where I don't even like to ride my bike anymore. I've been walking a lot. And so 2 years ago, actually it was 3 years ago, two buddies of mine ended up doing the rim to rim, the Grand Canyon hike. And it wasn't something that I thought I would be able to do. Definitely didn't at that time. And so, but since they finished it, we were doing more walking, hiking with them, and just small hikes here and there. And then the guy, Jim, who coordinated, he's the big coordinator of our group, of my buddies, he basically was saying, kicking it around, maybe going back to the rim to rim. And I was turning 50 last year, so I said, hey, maybe this would be a good idea for me to get into. And, so that's what we did. Me, my wife, and actually we had a total of 14 people, in September, 14 of us went. So 12 of us hiked, and then we had two drivers. And we actually did complete the, rim to rim hike. That was a long day as well. And I know Pete, you completed that as well.
Sort of.
So, you know, the pain.
You did complete it. You walked out of that. You completed it.
Okay. So what, how long were you down there?
Yeah. So I think we were down there for a total of 13 and a half hours.
Nice.
We did it, late September. And when we started at the North Rim, it was 34 degrees. When we got to Phantom Ranch, I believe the thermometer said it was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So that's a.
So you went the other way. You went south to north.
I did
right?
go south to north. Yeah. So it's a
Did you go south to north?
I did, and it's a little bit steeper on the north end of the canyon to go up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yours was harder.
Well, mine was harder because of other reasons, but the Phantom Ranch, for anybody who doesn't know the Grand Canyon, that's at the bottom of the canyon. So it's kind of like a way station, if you will. People can stay there. There's a few places to stay, and there's like a little convenience store kind of thing.
Yep.
That's there. There's pump, like a pump for water.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So, but it's, I mean, it's really an interesting thing that you start out, you're bundled up a little bit, it's cold, right?
Yeah.
You get to the bottom, it's literally 70 yeah. degrees warmer than where you started. And actually, at the time where you went, there's possibility of snow even on the North Canyon.
Yeah, I would say we definitely didn't hit some, but it was I think a week, 2 weeks later, we were seeing reports of snow out there. I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Well, congratulations on completing that to you and everybody that was with you. That's a heck of of an accomplishment.
Thank you.
You know, so with this hike, if you don't mind sharing, kind of where were you weight wise with that? Because that's a long time on your feet, over 21 miles and.
Yep. So I was definitely, again, you know, when I signed up, it's not something you sign up for, but when I told my friends and got airfare and everything, I was like, oh, this will stir me on again. And I'll be honest, I would say that I probably trained better for the hike than I did Ironman. And so we were out there walking all the time, me, my wife, and not all of the 12, but probably 6-7 of us were out there every weekend. And we were, you know, pounding the pavement. We found a plan online. We followed it, and we were doing, you know, up to our longer walks or hikes. I call them hikes, but really they're walks. It's where I live in South Jersey. It's a very flat area. You really have to go hard to find a hill. So we were walking at the height. I remember. On a Saturday, we walked 22 miles, and then the next day we walked 10 miles because we want to walk on tired legs. Yep. But I could say I trained better for the rim to rim, but that's still, Pete and Gretchen, my weight still wasn't dropping. I would say I did the hike at 270, and as I talked to you today, which is only a few months later, I'm probably back up to 285. It's a constant struggle for me, the weight, and back to your original question, what brings me to Fat Man Chronicles? I mean, I kind of, you know, like I said, I listened to the show and I wanted to get on here and you know, it's, I'm not proud that I'm 285 pounds doing these things, but I'm out there doing them. And, you know, I want people to know that they can still, you know, you might be struggling, but get out there and do stuff. You could still get out there and, you know, hopefully if you're, you know, you're healthy, you got two legs and you can walk. Just walk. Just go out and do something.
Well, I think you hit on a couple of things. One, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Gretchen and I are always saying that, you know, the weight doesn't inhibit us from doing a lot of stuff, right? And the second piece of that is weight is lost in the kitchen, right? I mean, you're burning a ton of calories during the week and on those long walks. And it's just not that simple, right? Yeah. It's all about what you're doing in the kitchen. That's where weight loss comes. And I'd say it's at least 90%, maybe 95%, for a lot of us. Are you trying anything now? I mean, are you trying to lose weight? Are you thinking you have a plan? Anything you follow?
You know what I do? I'm one of those guys. I believe that, you know, any diet is great if you stick to it. But that being said, I do my best when I am doing no sugars, no grains. You know, I used to listen to Vinny Tortorich and all that stuff good too. And, you know, I believe his model is a great model. So when I am doing well, I'm usually doing no sugars, no grains. That works great for me. It's just a matter of me sticking to it. And that always becomes the problem. I'm usually good for only about a week or two. Right. And I just fall off. It really is. And, you know, I have children as well. I have a son that'll be 19 in a couple months and twin daughters that'll be 17 in a couple months. So, you know, it's I mean, you know, it's just excuses. But we are going out. We're going, hey, you want to go out to eat? You want to do this? And, you know, so.
As a dad, twin daughters sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, especially when they're 16 right now.
Yeah. did you see what you talked about Biggest Loser earlier? Did you see Jillian Michaels coming out ripping the NSNG/keto lifestyle?
I did not, because I saw something on social media about you know what? It was John and Andy were talking about it on their podcast this week. John mentioned something quick about it, but I really didn't didn't see it and didn't hear, read much. After he said it, I did not go back and look for it. So
yeah, it's been
I'm surprised at that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's been a little mini feud between, you know, her and the keto and NSNG advocates online. Some tit for tat kind of back and forth. I've read a little bit of it, but in the end, you know, I was kind of disappointed that she would kind of throw an entire potential lifestyle with some good science behind it out the window, considering that she, you know, advocated for 6 hour a day workouts,
and
basically
I'm,
starving, you know, yourself and, you know,
I'm
doing
pretty
it on
sure
TV.
So I'm pretty sure they weren't eating many carbs on that show.
No.
Not refined carbs. That's for sure. And I think that's a key differential, right? Is the refined carbs versus good carbs, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I should have said it. Yes. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Can I ask, what made you train for the canyon? Like what mentality? Like, so, I mean, you did an Ironman, right?
Yeah. Well,
and then,
yeah
but
yeah.
then you're doing the canyon, which is, you know, it's hiking and it's long and it's dangerous, don't get me wrong, but an Ironman can be as well. Like, what made you want to train for that more?
Yeah, it's funny. It's a great question because I have the answer for it.
Well,
because as I've told many friends, and I have a great support system around me. My wife works out. Like I said, she went to the canyon with us and she did the hike with us. A lot of my friends that I hang out with have done Ironmans. A lot of them, most of them are not my size. So they've done it a lot faster than me. What I said, why I trained for the canyon was if I'm out on a bike and I'm 80 miles in and if I'm sick and I can't do it anymore, I could stop and someone will pick me up and pick my bike up.
Right.
I got to get out of the canyon.
Yeah.
I know I have to get out of the canyon on my, with my own 2 feet, you know, I'm to get helicoptered out of there is a price I don't want to pay. So really,
it's very
really
expensive.
Came...
I looked into it when I couldn't find Pete. Let me tell you.
I looked at it as well. I'm not going to lie. When, you know, we were up there, we flew into Phoenix a couple of days before the hike. We ended up staying in Sedona. So we drove from Phoenix to Sedona. We stayed there for a day and a half. Then we went to the North Rim. And the next day, obviously, we started the hike. And I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I was scared and I was literally, I contemplated not telling my wife. And she knew before we left, for the trip that, there, if I didn't feel 100% sure I was going to get out of the canyon that day, that I was not going to do it. And she was fine. And, you know, we said she would do it. No problem. She was, you know, she trained doubly hard, probably double the amount I did. So I was scared. I really was scared that day. I was very nervous. And I ended up starting. So I knew I was going to have to somehow get out of there.
Yeah.
And, probably, you know, we probably walked about 4 or 5 miles and we stopped and my wife said she looked at me and I just did not look good. And I don't know if it was, it was starting to warm up already and I was bundled up and I was hot and I don't know, but at one point I remember the point she was thinking of where, and I know I didn't feel good at that point. Luckily, you know, you eat a little more and you get some fluids in you. And, I can say that I did real well again. It's from that point, probably up until when we had to start climbing again, you know, which was not for, the last probably 4.5-5 miles. So
what time of the day did you start?
5:30. I would say we probably were on the trail around 5:30.
That's a fairly late start for a rim to rim.
A lot of people start,
you know, 2, 3 in the morning.
Because
of the heat, exactly what you're saying, right?
I think
I would prefer to start probably when you did.
I think our group maybe the fact that we had 12 of us doing it was, it made it harder because, you know, trying to get all of us in the van and get going. I think the guy Jim, who again is our leader and our planner, I think he was planning on us getting out around 4:45 to 5 o'clock. So definitely not 2 or 3 though. We weren't going out early. So
it's interesting. I want to see if my memory is serving because of my traumatic experience at that end of the canyon. It'll be fairly fresh in your mind. So you come down and it's a very steep downhill for about a mile and a quarter, give or take, I think, from the on the north rim. You know, it's a little bit of a switchback. And then you kind of, when you get to the bottom there, you come out and there's like an area where the mules kind of, like a campground almost, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And then you kind of go through an archway and then you're like on a very steep rim. It kind of goes around. Yep. But it's beautiful.
But it's very
steep, but it's gorgeous, right?
Extremely, yep. So you're exactly right. I will say when we went, and I don't know, but there were no mules that day. And my buddy Jim said that the mules were sick or something. There was an illness going around with the mules. So
I need to time mine like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have any mules that we had to deal with for moving over or anything like that. So that part, yeah, we saw no mules, which I thought maybe I could get on one and get back up, but no.
So my guess is that you kind of went around that area and then it comes out. There's like a rest area that's right around that first big kind of walking around the ledge. I mean, and it's fairly narrow through that ledge too. So
It is. And there were definitely people walking the other way. Which, but that was probably the scariest of like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. But, going up, cause, you know, like you said, that's very narrow, and you're just off a cliff. Whereas when you're, Pete, did you go down the South Rim or the Bright Angel?
So I think I went down the South Kebab, however they say
it. Okay.
That.
Yeah. So we went up the north. I'm sorry. When we came up, we went up the Bright Angel. Yep. So, which I think is a little further in distance, but not as steep as what you had.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. So if you could think about it, I mean, just to kind of put it in perspective, I know I've talked about this on the air before, but where you were coming down at the beginning there and not feeling well, that's where I bonked. So,
okay.
That what happened was like I couldn't get out of that little rest area probably that you were staying at. There's a couple of picnic tables and stuff. I couldn't get out of there. My brother and sister-in-law finally went ahead and I was on that narrow ledge, only able to walk about 5 or 6 steps at a time before I'd have to stop and rest. And then when I got to the archway on the other side, I got sick to my stomach. I started getting sick, and then I laid down and that right through that archway, and my brother came down to try to get me, and then a couple of rangers came down to try to get me. I did walk out of there.
You walked out of there.
But it just under 24 hours. But
okay.
It was – that's – so if you could imagine bonking to the point like where you can't do anything. Like you can't – literally can't take another step on that ledge.
Yeah.
That's where I was. So – the fact that I want to go back is probably nuts, but you know, if you want to go back next September, you know, let me know because I'm like itching to go back.
Well, it's funny because my buddy, again, the guy Jim, he's actually going back again this year, and it's probably this. So you're talking September 2019 or 2020?
Yeah.
So he is going back in 19. It's something I'm still contemplating, but I think And then in 2020, he wants to go back and do rim to rim to rim. And I think my wife wants to do that with him. But but they're not doing it continuously, Pete. They're going to do rim to rim, stay over, and then go rim to rim the next day, as opposed to going rim to rim, not stopping and just keep going back.
Yeah.
If that you follow me on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure which would be worse for me. To be.
Yeah.
I would think stopping and then having this like knowing like, okay, you just did this. Now you're stopped. you know, you're going to sleep and then you have to get up and do it again. Like, I would want, I think for me, like mentally, I would want to just keep going.
Just keep going. Yeah. I can tell you, I will 100% say I will not be doing rim to rim to rim right now.
I won't be doing rim to rim, so.
I might, I possibly, if they do that, if I'm not just the driver and just being the driver for them, maybe I'll do the second leg, but there, I would, there's no chance that I would want to do the rim to rim to rim. So there is an, do you, or Peter, are you definitely going back this September or?
I'm not definite yet. I mean, it's on my radar though. I'm still trying to plan out the rest of the year. I've got a couple of things going, but I really do want to go back, and I think I'll be in good enough shape this time. And much more used to the heat and the, and what I need to do. I'm just better off, like in how to fuel.
You're more prepared. You know what to expect.
Right.
And the, I mean, rim to rim to rim is always an, it, I mean, it's intriguing to me, but I know how much my brother suffered doing that.
Yeah.
And my brother's, you know, a sub 3 hour marathoner. So, and
I can tell
you,
none of my friends are. So I don't know. They might not know what they're getting into. But, like I said, I know they're, Jim's taking a group there this year. Maybe I'll jump in on that. But if even then, I don't like, I think I just want to be their driver. Because I know, honestly, you know what? Our driver, it was so great having two people that were willing to do that for us that I know it's important to have people that are willing to do that. So,
well, that's me. That's my job. I'm the driver.
See, but that's a very important job.
So, Dan, I don't know if you like Vegas or not, but my suggestion is you get them to go south to north. You pick them up, and then you just go up the road to Vegas from there. That's my dream.
We did the road trip. So this was only my second time out to the Grand Canyon. About 3 years earlier, me, my wife, and the three kids, we flew to Phoenix, stayed there a few days, went to Sedona, went to the Grand Canyon, went to the Hoover Dam, and then ended up in Vegas and stayed there for a couple of days before we flew home. So that was a good trip. Not having to hike the rim, part was great.
All right. So what's on tap for 2019? What are you viewing here? What are you eyeing?
So what I'm eyeing is there is a new race that's starting this is the first year they're doing it. It turns out that it is about 5 miles from my house. It's called the Elephant Swamp Trail. it's an ultra, which is crazy because we have no ultras around here that I know of. But then again, I've never looked for one because I never thought I'd want to do one. And so it's going to be April 20th. They're doing a 30 miler, a 40 miler, and a 50 miler. And me and my buddies. Now, I should have mentioned that I'm in a triathlon club that I started the club back in 2013 with a few of these people. And now we started with 17 people. I think the club is about 200 people now. So,
that's awesome.
So we have a lot of people in our club because this is only 5 to 10 miles away that are going to do this. But me and probably a good group we're going to just walk it. Like, I'll be honest, Gretchen and Pete. I don't know if I ever really need to run again, and maybe if I
to that, man. Come on.
maybe if I lost 100 pounds, I might feel differently. But I just like going walking and hiking, and we've been doing that now. So now we're doing our weekend hikes to prepare for this, and so we have what did we do? 9-10 miles last Saturday. And we have a 10 miler scheduled this Saturday and just preparing for this. But this particular race, I'm doing the 30 miler. My wife's actually signed up for the 40 miler and she's a walker as well. And my wife just walks, but she walks so fast. It's crazy. Like my friends laugh because they're running and some of them at her walking speed. It really is nuts. But, So a bunch of us are just, what's nice about this is the trail itself is a point to point trail to where there's not a lot of open roads. It starts on one end. It goes down to 5 miles and then you turn around for 5 miles. So that's one leg there is 10 miles. But what's nice is obviously you could do that at three times is for your 30 miler, but you could come back and, you know, if you need to rest, you need to, get refueled. It's not like you're out there for 30 miles is what I'm trying to say. It's actually, even you could stop at the one end even for 5 miles if you needed stuff. Right. You know, so
is there a cutoff?
There is, but I believe the cutoff for the 30-miler, I think, is like 13 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then 14 hours for the 40-miler and 15 hours for the 50-miler. So is it
flat or is there some hills?
Flat, pancake flat.
Wow, that sounds pancake awesome.
Flat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's everything around here is flat. So one of the things when I was training for the rim, because it was so flat, obviously I needed to get some hills or steps. A couple of my friends that went with us, the guy Jim and another guy Lou, they work over at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and they have one building that has about 9-10 floors. And so I would go over there every Tuesday, and on Tuesdays we would go up and down those steps, just for hours. Those guys, in the time that it would take me to do 15 flights up and down, they were probably doing 30. But I did it though. That's all that mattered. I put the time in. I put the time in, you know. And when we actually did the canyon, I would say we started, like I said, 12 of us went, and I would say the 12 of us were together for really until we started the incline at the end. We were all together, 12 of us. And then I would say five. Can you still hear me good?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I just got on my Skype said poor network connection. So,
you're good.
Okay. So until probably about maybe 5 miles to go, then five of them went ahead that were feeling a lot better. And then, so they finished probably 45 minutes before the rest of us finished. And the seven of us, we were literally spread out to within minutes only of to when we all finished together. And honestly, the seven of us were together at the 1.5 mile mark up. The Bright Angel going up is nice because it has a 4.5 miles, a 3 mile, and then a 1.5 mile stop. So it's real nice. It's convenient. There's water on everyone. Picnic table, you know, somewhere to sit. That last 1.5 miles for me, as you said, you had to stop every 3 feet. I was probably I was looking for a flat rock to. So every flat rock I saw, I told my wife, I got to stop. So
yeah.
My wife stayed with me the whole time. And like I said, she could have been with the front group, but she agreed to stay with me the whole time, which I was very happy that she did. So having her there to push me was fantastic.
That's great. Well, it sounds too like you found a good group of people to do things with. Do you prefer the group stuff versus trying to get out there on your own?
I do. I really do. And I don't know if 8 years ago I would have said that. But now, and you know, these guys, they really, they're good for me because like, you know, they will make me go out and there's times I need that. And you know, I know, and I didn't even know if I planned on talking about this, but I know Pete, you mentioned stuff about depression and all. And you know, I went through stuff and probably still dealing through stuff. And, it helps to have them, you know, say, hey, Dan, we're going to pick you up. Like this Saturday, we're going out to a hike. And you know, my buddy Jim's like, I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock, blah, 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 boom. So I know I'll be there ready to go.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, any time that you can be with people to help lift you up, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got quite a crew. So that's pretty cool. And I love hearing that you're going to hike 30 miles and that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even you would do that, Gretchen.
I would walk 30 miles. Yeah, I would.
Gretchen, flat too.
I have no problem hiking. And, you know, I said I wouldn't do the Grand Canyon. I mean, I would probably maybe one day, but not right now.
it's a great accomplishment. You know, I was fortunate enough to finish a marathon. I was fortunate enough to finish an Ironman, and now fortunate enough to finish the Grand Canyon. I will say that I will never do an Ironman again, and I will do Grand Canyon again. You know, there are fantastic feelings when you finish any of those. So.
That's awesome. All right. So now an important question.
Yeah.
What's in your opinion, the greatest musical act come out of New Jersey?
And be careful. Well, be careful.
Yeah. I'm more of a Bon Jovi guy than
there
a Bruce Springsteen guy.
Damn. This is why.
I've lived in Jersey my whole life. So I started up in North Jersey and then grew up more in my high school years in Central Jersey. And then when I met my wife, who's from South Jersey, I moved down here 20-something years ago. But when I lived in Central Jersey, I lived in a town called Old Bridge, which is right next door to Sayreville, which is where Bon Jovi's from.
Yep.
And now you know why I chose the quote.
Now I know why you chose the quote.
Nice.
Doesn't know, yeah, his opening quote was a Bon Jovi one. I'm like, why? But now I get it. Now
the
I
one
get
thing,
it.
The one thing I knew about Dan.
I'm glad I picked that. I'm glad I picked the Bon Jovi. But yeah, I'm a Bon Jovi guy.
Isn't Old Blue Eyes from New Jersey?
Oh yeah, Frank. Sure, oh, yeah. Sure. Hoboken, see, Hoboken, which is the birthplace of my father. So.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so. All right. Well, Dan. We've kept you here for a little bit. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, that's everything for me. I mean, look, I appreciate your guys' podcast. Really, I look forward to it, and you know, the times that I'll tell you, that's the only thing I don't like about my group hikes is I do not listen to podcasts when I'm on group hikes. Sure. So. A lot
to be
of
social.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we were doing last year for the rim to rim training, we would always do the Saturday, the real long walks together. And then Sunday, you know, some people have different church schedules and this and that. And my wife, I think, liked to do some faster walks without us. So on the Sundays, I would still get to listen to my podcast on my walk. So I got to get back to that as well.
That's great. So if anybody wants to follow your shenanigans, can they follow you on Twitter or anything? What's going on there?
I don't know if you ever look at my Twitter, but I'm on top of like this fitness type stuff, I'm big into college wrestling. So I would say unless you really like to know anything about college wrestling, I wouldn't follow my Twitter.
Who doesn't want to know about that, Dan? That's really
So I would say honestly, I meant to say, like, you know, you talk about like how I didn't know about Jillian Michaels. When I started this back in 2005, I was the whole guy with the blog and this and that. And I got away from it. Like I used to be the guy on Facebook say, hey, I went out and did 8 miles today. This, I just don't do that anymore. I don't know. I just, probably because I work out so little now that I don't want people to say, hey, how come you're not doing anything? But so I don't follow a lot of, I mean, I follow you guys on Twitter, but I really, you know,
I don't do much on Twitter.
No. Yeah, exactly. And I don't see a lot on Twitter. So, I follow more of I'm more into the college wrestling scene on Twitter.
So basically, I mean, if people want to know a little bit more, get to know you better, they basically need to come to New Jersey and do a long walk with you.
They would have to. They at this point, they pretty much would have to.
I'm making an open invitation for them.
I'm OBRATS on most things. So, you know, on Twitter, on Instagram and Facebook. You want to find me on Facebook? It's Dan Seifring. Seifring. Feel free to friend me. I'm more than happy to, you know, talk to you there.
Awesome.
But
well, thanks so much for coming on. It was great to hear about your story, and thanks for putting up with us on a week in and week out basis. So
I love it. Look forward to it. Thank you very much for having me, guys. Thanks
awesome.
For talking.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun with Dan.
That was a lot of fun. That was a good one.
So the best part, was. Off air,
yes.
At the end, Dan tells us there's video proof
of him doing the Ironman.
Of him doing the Ironman at Ironman, New York City, so NYC, Full Circle. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
To see the video proof. And he says if you go through and read the comments that at one point somebody says there's no way that fat ass finished this race or something to that effect. So
yeah,
it sounded like he had good humor about it,
yeah,
which is great, and probably a little bit of motivation and
exactly
that comes out of it. But he's doing so much.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it sounds like he's always got like kind of one big goal now,
right?
Year in and year out. And I love the fact that he's found a love of walking,
yeah,
and a group
and
too.
A group to do that and to walk. I mean, you don't have to always be running. There's nothing. I mean, walking is still movement. It's still.
I think you get almost as much benefit out of the walking as you do the running.
Yeah.
To me, the running is a challenge, but I love to hike.
Yeah.
Probably way. Actually, I could tell you, I don't really love to run.
Right.
I love what it does, but I love hiking. Like,
yeah.
I love that just out in nature for hours at a time. So.
Yeah. It was awesome.
But he was very enjoyable.
Very much so.
All right. So anything else for you to add today?
Got nothing.
Now that we know why, I put a little Bon Jovi
now
at the front for you.
Now we know why. Now we know why.
All right. You've been listening to episode 61 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. I took my glasses off, so this is super
so you can't
challenging.
See anything.
Right?
They're right there.
I know. You can find us on social media at Fat Man Stories, although we're not super active on there right now. We're going to talk about that a little bit more coming up. Our website,
It's a teaser.
The website is fatmanchronicles.com, where I am blogging each week again. And I've got some thoughts I'm going to keep putting out there. This week was about rediscovering the word no. Very short one to, if you want to read over that over at fatmanchronicles.com. If you want to get in touch with us, do it on social or reach out to us at fatmanchronicles@outlook.com. What else do we got? Oh, yeah. Subscribe on iTunes. Share the show with somebody that you maybe marginally like. And if you could rate and review us there, that would be great. I didn't look to see if we had anything new. We did have Amy's from last week.
Yep.
And we, as always, we want to thank our patrons, Amy, John, Christine, Rob, Linda, and Julie. Without your guys' help, this would be much, much more difficult. Finally, you can find some swag over at fatmanchronicles.com/shop. And that's all we got for you today. Everyone, get out there and be better today.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. Now